Jim McGovern is congressman from Massachusetts' beautiful 2nd District. He's a Democrat. He's been in office since 1997, and I think he may be the apex of outspokenness in the Democratic Party, and I can't tell you how much I personally appreciate that, Jim McGovern. So thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Joe Courtney, your colleague, told us recently that no one wants to run for Congress to impeach a president. You were in the Congress during the Clinton years. Is this kind of process bad for America?
No, look, I mean, I think he's right. I mean, I didn't run for office to impeach a president. I ran for office to fight for jobs, to fight to end hunger, to fight to protect our planet, to support our veterans and help make college more affordable. I mean, that's why I got into this. But sometimes you are confronted with a situation where you have to make a tough decision, and that is that you have to sometimes put the Constitution and the country ahead of your politics, and I think we're at this moment right now where, this president's behavior is so abnormal, so beyond the pale, so dangerous to our country, that an impeachment inquiry, and I believe ultimately articles of impeachment being filed, are warranted. Now, whether or not a majority of my colleagues in the House believe that or not, we'll find out in the coming weeks and months. But this president, reached out to a foreign leader and asked that foreign leader to manufacture dirt on a potential political rival in order to influence domestic politics here in the United States, and basically said, if you want military aid to protect your country against Russia, you better cooperate with me. I mean, that is wrong on so many levels, but it is typical of the way this president operates. And so, look, I mean, this is about our democracy. It's about our country. It's about the Constitution. And and I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like his tweets. I don't like his policies. I don't like his behavior. But that is not why I'm advocating that we move forward here. I'm advocating we move forward because his behavior, in jeopardizing the national security of our country, and I think breaking laws is so apparent that to not do this would be basically to say to future presidents, you can get away with it, whatever the hell you want to get away with. I don't think we want that.
Jim McGovern, there is a case that is scaring the hell out of me going to the Supreme Court now, in which they're going to have to decide whether he is above the law, whether he can be indicted. The court below, the Supreme Court, has said, no man is above the law. Are you as worried about this as I am?
I am, and I'm hoping that the Supreme Court will rise to the occasion. I'm hoping that they will surprise some of us and actually, rule in accordance with the Constitution and the law, rather than doing a favor for the President of the United States. We're all waiting to see how all this turns out. I think Trump thinks that the Supreme Court is his. Absolve him of everything and protect him and run interference for him during this whole process. I hope that's not the case, because if it is, I think the Supreme Court will be much diminished.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Let me ask you about Hong Kong. You've been talking about that a bit. You wrote the Protect Hong Kong Act to prohibit the sale of American crowd control equipment in Hong Kong. I don't know that this president has any such instincts. Do you have any insight on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, the President Trump doesn't use the words human rights when he speaks. But the bottom line is the Hong Kong security forces and police, as we have seen on TV, have been tear gassing peaceful protesters, have been beating peaceful protesters. Some of them have been killed. Some of them have been badly beaten, and much of their security equipment, their police equipment, we sell them. And so this says we're not going to sell you any more of that stuff. You're not going to get any more from us. That we are so appalled by your behavior that this is our reaction. But we got to go much further. We also passed a bill called the Hong Kong Democracy and Freedom Act, saying that, Hong Kong enjoys a special economic status by the United States and by others, which makes it one of these financial capitals of the world. And one of the conditions, I believe, that special economic status should continue or be halted is based on whether China lives up to what it promised when it assumed control of Hong Kong and said that there would be one country but two systems, and that Hong Kong would be an autonomous entity where people could decide their own leaders, and China would not interfere in the business dealings of what happens in Hong Kong. If China decides, as they look like they are, that they're going to try to, run Hong Kong with an iron fist, well, that ought to cause us to reassess the special status that Hong Kong has. But the whole world is riveted on this, and these protesters have largely been peaceful. They have been mostly polite. I mean, the whole world has watched as millions and millions of people have taken to the streets, and they're counting on us to at least, be wind at their back in terms of, being a voice in support of what they're trying to do. And that's why we passed the bill in the House. I'm working with Marco Rubio in the Senate. We're trying to do the same thing in the Senate. And we want the president to get on board with us. So there's bipartisan concern about what's happening in Hong Kong. We're not hearing much out of the White House.
I want to go from there, because we only have a couple of minutes, sure, from there to your work on Armenian genocide. Turkey is on everybody's lips, of course. People have been afraid to tick off Turkey by recognizing the genocide that occurred all those years ago in Armenia. But now you're stepping forward. Is this a good time to do it?
It is. I mean, one is it's late. We should have done it a long time ago. But, as chairman of the Rules Committee, I brought the Armenian genocide resolution to the floor. As you mentioned, 1.5 million Armenians were exterminated, beginning back in as far back as 1915. And because we've been afraid to tick off Turkey, because Turkey has hired former members of Congress to be lobbyists, we've shied away from actually taking formal action to recognize what happened for what it was, and that is a genocide. We had an overwhelming vote. The House of Representatives, when I record, is calling it a genocide, and enlisting what had happened all that time ago. When I first got elected to Congress, I remember I went to an annual Armenian genocide commemoration in Worcester. The first few rows of the church were filled with survivors. I mean, it's like 60 people. 2015, the last survivor in this area passed away. And now when I go, there's no survivors. We should have done this while the survivors were still around. Now we need to do it to honor their memory, but also to honor the Armenian American community, and also make it clear that the United States stands for human rights, that we stand for historical accuracy, that we're not going to whitewash a genocide, because it's politically expedient or economically expedient. We're going to do the right thing. And I was really proud of that vote in the House.
Jim McGovern from Massachusetts 2nd District. I'm in the 1st District. He's in the 2nd District, but I'm sure proud of him.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim, for being with us.